over there, if it wasn't for you guys here, you just wouldn't be there. I would never, ever have stepped out on my own. But I knew, because I was sitting under a tremendous teacher
Amen.
Of the word,
yeah.
that, you know, got rid of all the rubbish that I picked up over the years from being in different churches, and just got me back to the word of God. Mm-hmm. Not the written word of God, but the Logos word of God, the living word of God. You know, and so often, it's amazing. I deliberately don't listen to Johnny's messages before I hear what God is saying to us in tea. But it's amazing how it's always on the same kind of vein. And you, when it, this wow, this is what he said to us too. Wow! The wind of worship.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
The wind of wisdom. The wind of wealth. And the wind of wonder. And our God is our God of order. But yes, to come in, we look for the wonders. We look for all the blessings. But we're not going to get there unless we do it God's way. We need to get into that place of worship. Yes. To that place where there's just him and I. Doesn't matter who else is there or who's not there. Just him and I.
Hallelujah. Thank
whether
you,
we're individuals or whether we're together. Mm. Doesn't matter who's looking at you, who's not looking at you. It's just about him. Yeah. That place of worship. And as we come into that place of worship, we're open to his wisdom.
Yeah.
And who knows, we need his wisdom. Amen. If we are going to operate in everything
Hallelujah.
He has for us, we'll make a mess of it without his wisdom.
Amen.
So we need to have that wisdom.
Yeah.
So you prepare to catch that wind of wisdom. Because it comes out of the wind of worship. And then, when we have the wisdom, he'll bring us the wealth.
Hallelujah.
Because we'll have the wisdom to really exercise his vision for his church.
Hallelujah.
Because it's not our church,
Amen.
It's his church.
Yes.
And he's building his church. And praise God, he has chosen us as his laborers and his co-heirs to build his church.
Thank you,
with his wealth. His wealth. No matter how hard we work, the end of the day is his.
Oh,
he gives us the power
Amen.
To make wealth.
Yes,
to make his wealth.
Because
it's all his.
Thank you, Father.
And out of all of that, we will see his wonder. We will see the signs and the wonders. You know, isn't it wonderful that we just serve one God,
Amen.
A living God.
Hallelujah. Yes.
And he doesn't change his message for different church, because it's his church.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that this is the only message he has for New Wine Church. He'll have it for other New Wine churches too. Because if we are new wineskins, we will contain a new wine. And God brings us into relationship with these other new wineskins. Because there'll be that connection that only comes with him. You know, I'm just going to use Judas as an example. I hope you don't mind, Judas. Judas and I have never really been part of the same denomination at the same time. We've always been in a different denomination. But the bottom line is, we've both always been new wineskins.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And God brought us together in such an amazing way through an American woman who hadn't really met Judas, but she knew the living God. I had come over here and Judas moved up to Fort William, and Delene Taylor phoned up one day and she says, God has told me to bring you and he wants you to come with me to Africa. Just like Delene would say. And I thought, this was going to be in 3 weeks' time or something. I thought, I can't go in 3 weeks' time. I said, Delene, I think God might have prepared me a bit better than this. I'll come next year. But next year, Judas had come to Fort William. And she saw in the spirit that the two of us would minister together. And we have. And that was how long ago?
10 years.
10 years. And we have. And, you know, and it's, God will bring, if you today are on your own, if you are single and on your own, you don't have to worry, because God will bring somebody into your life that will minister with you, that will strengthen you, that you can sharpen each other. You know, there's something, I remember when I first was asked to move over to Team. Very small, still voice in one of the little rooms in Gideon, before I ever mentioned it to anybody. And I thought, no, I can't do that. I'm a woman. I'm a divorced woman. I'm on my own. I can't do that. And I reasoned it away as my mind playing tricks on me. But, you know, God is God. And he knows the beginning from the end and end from the beginning. And he had brought yet another labourer. Merle Clayton was faithful, supported me on that side while all of you guys were praying for me on this side. And then Merle had to move from Elgin and go all the way down south. But he didn't take her away until he had a solid relationship cemented between Judas and I. So there's always going to be someone coming alongside you at different times. Always, always. It doesn't matter what happens. There's always going to be somebody that God will put there. But we have to wait upon the Lord. And I waited from that little whispered voice in Green, and I waited. Even in my reasoning it away, he kept bringing it back to my mind until it was time to go. And we were in Uganda, and I didn't intend sharing any of this today, but we were in Uganda. Judas and I and another few folk, and the Holy Spirit didn't let me sleep for the whole week of the conference. And I came back to Lewis and I spoke to Donnie and I spoke to my boss in social work and said, I'm going to be working just a 3-day week on the island because I need to go to team. I must go to team. And I was released from here and released from social work to go for 4 days. And for these 4 days, it included a Sunday. And me and my little religiosity bits that keep popping up, I have to make sure that they go. I had to go to church on a Sunday. And I was saying to the guys this last couple of days, you know, we need to watch our language, because what we say tells us a lot about ourselves. But I had to go to church. Now, while I'm saying I'm going to church, I'm talking about going to a church building. Not in a conscious level, because I know that I'm part of church, I'm part of the Living Stones, but I'm still going to church. And for the first few Sundays, I felt quite bad that I wasn't going to a church building. And I'd go as far as Tomic on the A9, I don't know if you're aware of it, but there's a lovely restaurant there on the A9, just off the A9. Get as far as Tomic on my way to Inverness to go to church. Physically drive beyond there. Sometimes I would swing in there and I'd have my cup of coffee and I'd say, well, why? What is it? Where do you want me to go? There were Sundays I would drive up through the little byways up the back and I'd pray and prophesy at every farm and whatever. And other times I would go back to my daughters and I would listen to Donnie's speech online from the Sunday before. Maybe the evening if I'd listen to the morning, or maybe there was a message that I would just be delighted to listen to again. Sometimes I'd go to the church. And there was always a struggle. Always a bit of a struggle in, you know, with my family. What's it going to be today? Did they think of me starting this church? There's nobody else here. How are they going to see it? I remember going to the Free Church one day and it was Ronnie Morris and he was preaching and they'd just come back from holiday in Portugal and he was saying how he was watching this wonderful boat and the boat was going out, all the rigging was up and the sails were going and got so far out and then stopped, couldn't go any further. And he says, can you imagine how silly the skipper felt? And all his people on the harbour were watching him going out. And he was very majestic going out. Stuck and couldn't go out because he had forgotten to miss his anchor.
Oh, no.
So we're saying, what anchor is holding you back from doing what God wants you to do? Woof! I thought, what? You know? And it went on to say, it's family, it's friends, it's your work. Mates, what is it that's holding you back? You go so far and you don't go any further. You know, and you know, and this is a denomination who don't really believe in words of knowledge. Or, but that's a word of knowledge. Holy, you know, if you're open to hearing what God is saying to you,
that's right.
It doesn't matter where you are.
Yes.
You'll hear God.
That's right.
You'll hear God. So there was confirmation what I was to do. And fast forwarding, 7 years on, we're now not just a new band church on the East Coast. We've moved up to the North Gate. We're in Caithness. So you've got family in Caithness as well. So praise God for his faithfulness. And I am really believing that New Vine Church will go much further than the West Gate on the Highlands of Lewis and the East Gate and the North Gate. Because when this, you know, we bound up the strong man yesterday.
Yeah.
Last night, he's bound. There's freedom. We saw, and I'll be calling on the team later, we saw and we heard, there's an open heaven. We've heard it from many others.
Yes.
But it was confirmation for people who'd never been here before, God confirming to us here that we are under an open heaven.
Amen.
And we have to really take everything that God has for us.
Yes.
So that, because the eyes of the world is on all of you guys.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
We have a rich heritage, but we're not living on a heritage.
Yes.
We're living on our inheritance from God. And we need to really take up our position as co-heirs. You know, if you got a letter today in the post saying, from a solicitor, saying, I have a will and testament here for you. Come and collect. Would you just put it in your top drawer and forget about it? You'd be down there like a shot. I was going to say, you'd be down at testings. I'm beginning to show my age now. A wee bit. But you know what I mean? You wouldn't just be reading the letter over and over again and ruminating on it. You'd be off there to claim your inheritance. Why, you're under an open heaven. It's all there for you and for me. We just need to go in and take it. You know, just receive it. Because it's ours. And it's legal. And no one has a right to take it off you. There is no point in us saying, oh, the devil stole this and the devil stole that. The devil stole it because you and I allowed it. We allowed it to be stolen. The violent take heaven by storm. We take it by faith. The good fight of faith. Not being passive and kind of, oh well, whatever will be. No, no, no. We need to be aggressive in taking what is ours.
Amen.
What is ours? Because it's legally ours.
Amen.
Legally ours. And nobody has the right to take that from us. And you know, it's just so incredible how that dirty devil tries, and I, you know, like I keep saying it, I don't want to be glorifying him in any way, but I want to use him as an example. And, you know, just coming over here, there's been a battle getting here. When we got here, we got here, and we did what we had to do, and we'll be back to do what we have to do. Because it's not just what we are doing here. It's what you're doing to strengthen us
Amen.
Over there.
Amen.
Because without each other, we wouldn't be who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't be able to achieve what we achieve. But, you know, I went splat on my face on the way to the ferry. Was that yesterday or the day before? I lost track of time.
The day before.
There wasn't even a little pebble in the way that I would have tripped over. Nothing. Splat onto the concrete. And it's interesting what Johnny was saying about breathing into your lungs.
Yeah.
There was blood everywhere. Man did pray for me and said, you're covered by the blood. Blood everywhere. This guy's bringing out tissues and blood. I don't know where he came from. Must have been an angel. But he had blue tissues. And you know, all of Friday night and all day yesterday, I couldn't really breathe properly through my nose. And I couldn't blow my nose because when I tried to blow my nose, it would start bleeding again.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, in here last night, all of that went.
Hallelujah.
My arm was dull. I was putting my coffee this way. I couldn't. All that's gone. That's gone. Because we need to focus on him.
Yeah.
We need to focus on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to bring the whole message today because I want those guys to really encourage you as well. Mm-hmm. But the title of the message was to be, the telescope needs to be turned around.
Mm-hmm.
So often mm-hmm. we have this telescope and it's focused on us. It's focused on our lack, it's focused on our aches, our pains, and you know, it becomes ridiculous. It becomes so big that it becomes so overwhelming. But if we turn that telescope around and magnify the Lord, what happens? What happened here last night? I can breathe. I can move my arm. I can walk. All these things change when you change this telescope. That you're not magnifying your problem. And you're not, you know, just speaking it out all the time. Now, you know, this is a message very much for me. I'm preaching myself happy this morning. Because we can speak to God about how big our problems are, when we should be speaking to our problems about how big God is.
Amen.
You know, we need to really turn things around. Turn things around. You know, I've heard somebody once say this has been a big ship to turn around. No, no, no. The ship's been turning for a long time. It just needs that little, and we're there. Last night,
yes.
And we were there last night, we're there this morning.
Yeah.
We need to just keep that telescope focused in the right place,
Amen.
On the right person.
Amen.
And we can praise Him and breathe Him in. But there is no blockages to breathing Him in, and there is no stopping praising Him and just letting it out, because it's in that praise, in that worship, that wind of worship, that all the other things come, just flows out of that. You know, David said, I will go. He didn't say, oh, well, I'm going to pray about that, or I'm going to believe for that, or I'm hoping for that. He said, I will go.
Hallelujah.
I will go. Amen. You know, we can talk ourselves into defeat.
Yes.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But God is not limited by anything.
Mm-hmm.
By any of our aches, our pains, our lack of finances, our lack of this. We just need to change our perspective.
Hallelujah.
That's all we need to do. The devil doesn't want to oppose where you are. He wants to oppose where you're going.
Amen.
He's quite happy for you to stay in these four walls.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't want you to go outside there. But isn't it wonderful how, with modern technology, if used in the right way, we don't have to go out of there. Donny attended.
Yeah.
All these nations are hearing the word from here. And we don't have to depend on that either. We just, you know, you don't look at yourself and your ministry as, you know, what he's calling me to full time. What does that mean? You're in full time ministry.
Yeah, that's right.
Rachel Lockett's in full time ministry. Where she works, as is Ali in the tourist board, as is Katrina in whatever that place is called. You know, it's not Donny that's in full-time ministry on the road. We're in full-time ministry wherever we are.
Yes, right.
Janet there has
yes.
been in full-time ministry for years.
Okay.
She sits quietly in a back room. And
not always quiet.
But you know, she is a shining light in this community and has
right.
been all of her life.
Yeah.
All her life. She's in full time ministry. Full time ministry. No matter where you are, what you're doing, you're in full time
yes.
ministry.
That's right.
Just bringing the good news of Jesus Christ. Christ.
Hallelujah.
The good news of Jesus Christ. And it's just wonderful. So turn that telescope around and focus on Him.
Jesus.
And you will see differences. You will see differences. And Exodus chapter 1. If somebody finds it first, they can read it out. Exodus chapter 1, verse 12.
The more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread, and the more alarmed the Egyptians became. So the Egyptians worked with the So the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy.
Oh. We can stop there. Increase is coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's here. It's here. You just have to take it.
That's right.
You need to stop focusing on the pressing and the pushing and the shoving and multiply.
Amen.
Yes.
Mm. Multiply. Increase is here.
Mm-hmm.
It's here.
Yeah.
And we need to claim it. We need to get our bank statements. Oh, this is all. Oh, this is just amazing. We had this guy from Dundee. We're working in the Neg, and he was just such a blessing to us. And he went back. He was working. He's working down now in Galashiels or something. I'm not sure where. But I got a text from him out of the blue about 6 weeks ago, and he said, "Mary, I can't thank you enough for the teaching that I received while I was up in Tain." He says, "Remember the day," I didn't remember it, "remember the day you told us to get all our bank statements out and pray over them?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, he says, "I've done that, and we were in horrendous debt, and I have just paid off £72,000 worth in a one
hour."
Because I prayed over my bank statements.
Amen.
You know, we need to. Because it's there. It's there. We just need to take it. We need to pray. We need to be a bit more proactive. Not me. We're talking in breakfast about being passive. Just stop being passive. And start being aggressive in the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith. Because we'll have a good outcome. Now, I'm not going to say any more, because I'm going to call on these three guys. Come on. Davy, Mandy, Judith, come on. I just want you to share, really, what God's been putting on your heart while you've been here.
I just wanted to, I was just going to say something earlier, but we won't say it because then it seems to have fitted in, so we'll just say it. But I just wanted to thank you, you know, because I kind of came not broken in any way, but exhausted, absolutely exhausted. And I feel that I'm going back, refreshed, built up, different focus, restored in lots of ways. I was saying last night that I was worshipping, but I was thanking God. I knew it, praising with these people. I just thought, oh, just fantastic. And I wanted to, something that Ali said it first about, you know, stop striving. I know we're talking about pushing in, and there is a pushing in. I know that we have to do that. It's getting to that place of, you know, he's putting his seeds in, saying, do you know what, if you go through all the right things, if you do all the right preparation, if you do all the right work in God, it isn't hard. And I was, you know, we sang Strength of Rise, we wait upon the Lord, and I'll just remind you of it. It says, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You know, my sister and my brother-in-law are falconers. So they go all over the place, they do talks. And my brother-in-law, he's great on birds, you know, he just talks about the birds all the time, but he just talks about the fact that they do not make an effort, or they don't need to make an effort. So sometimes they get lost, and he whistles them back, throws lures, he does all sorts of things, but they will not move from that place because he said the wind's against them. They won't put an extra bit of effort in. And you know, when they were talking about soaring, you know, the effort is in the getting to that higher place.
Mm.
The eagle saw, you don't ever tell, I mean, I know you all know eagles, I'm preaching to the converted because I've heard of eagles and I've seen one, like dolphins in tail, I've never even seen one of them, but I believe in you. But, you know, I don't believe that I've ever seen a picture of a eagle against the wind flapping like mad. They don't go in, they go up. Mm. And they go up, and the reason they go up, and my brother-in-law told you, he had been seeing all these years, it's very worldly. It's sorted with lots of different things in there, but he's got great wisdom. And he says they go up, find the thermals.
That's right.
And they find the thermals, and once they found that place, they just glide around. And it's effortless. But once we get up into that place, we got there last night, I'll tell you, we could have flown out of this room, we could have flown either of us. But I'll tell you, you know, once you get up into that thermals of heaven, that spirit realm, you will do it. It'll be effortless. It might take a bit of effort, but we need to do that. So that's just for encouragement. Because that's where I am now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I told her, I said, I'm going to Lewis. Make way for me when I come back.
Hey.
This is a man who's a technical male who's going to be doing all the recording.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to hide behind this a wee bit. I really had a blessed day yesterday and today, and thoroughly enjoyed myself. I really struggled, as I said this last night, but I really struggled in worship and praise, although I love music and I love dancing, although I don't do that in front of people all day, and just when everybody's there. And I got set free a wee bit last night, and I really enjoyed it, and the worship was fantastic last night. I've not got anything like what Mandy had there just now, but I think what I'll do is I'm just going to share a wee testimony. You were talking about, you wanted to hear my testimonies. I was up at my shed, and a boy came round. He was putting some scaffold in. He's a scaffolder, he's putting some stuff in my shed, and he got a phone call, and it was somebody offshore that was looking for him to come and do work, and they says, is your medical certificate still in place? And he said, yeah, it's got 3 months to run. And he says, but I've got an appointment with the doctors to get a new one. So they asked about his condition. His condition was a heart murmur that he had. And so when he put the phone down, I asked him, I said, what was that with your heart drum? He's not a Christian, the guy. Mm-hmm. And he says, I've got a heart murmur. I says, how long have you had it? Oh, since I was born. And I says, all right. I says, well, this is what I believe, John. And I gave him some testimonies about other people that had laid hands on and what the Bible says about it. And he says, all right, he's a nice guy, you know, he's open. And I says, right, I says, so just can I pray with you then? And he said, aye. So I caught his hand, I says, heart, in Jesus' name, you work right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And we were done. So I seen him 2 weeks later, he came round to the house, and he was talking about the scaffold. And he says, oh, by the way, he says, I never had a heart murmur since. And I says, right, how often do you get them? And I knew he said 2 weeks anyway. And I says, you know, and he says, well, 2 weeks. And he says, but I should have had one by now, so I was guessing then that it must have been like 3 weeks since his last one. And I said, that's great, John. I said, that's fantastic, you know. So off he went. And then I hadn't seen him then until another 7 weeks, which is 9 weeks after I prayed for him, which is he was going to the doctors in 6 weeks. So I was desperate to see him now and hear what progress was and what happened, you know. Because I'm just started in this, I'm only new. And when I seen him on the main road, and I waved him down, and I stopped, and there was cars coming, and I didn't care, I needed to know. I says, John, what's happening with your heart? And he says, what's happening with my heart? There's two conditions I'm interested in. So he says, I've been to the doctors, and the doctor says I don't have a heart murmur.
Yes.
He said a heart murmur since he was born, and he was checked every year by the doctors to work, so it could work. Oh, I then met him again later on, so 7 months later, and he says he's been for another medical for a different thing, whatever, you know, to do with work. And the guy went to check him, he says, no, my normal doctor. So he says, it's just a medical he's getting. So he says to Mo, he says, I used to have a heart murmur. And the doctor looks at him, I don't know if there's any doctors in here, I don't know anything more about it. The doctor just goes, all right, okay. So he says, right, I'll just check some for the heart murmur. No, he says, there's nothing there. And he's, can I check you again? Ah, he says, only go. So he says, he's checking again, but he says, this time he's digging in. And he says, I know what I get every year. He says, but this time this guy's searching now. He says, he's digging in, like, he's looking for this thing. So he says, no, it's not there. He says, do you mind if I put you on the machine? No, he says, only go, get the machine. So he gets the machine and sticks him on the machine. Nah. He says, you know what happened, man? He says, like, no, I said, I told you. The doctor's still like that. The doctor's still thinking like doctors think, and he says, no. I said, I'm just going to get your records. He's not got his records because it's just a medical examination, so he doesn't need his records. So he's now going to get his records, and he's looking at his records. Go on.
Hallelujah.
You could listen to David McLennan's testimonies all day, because that's just one of them.
I do listen to
them
all day.
One thing, there's another one on that board that nobody mentioned. I don't think, I never caught it, so they did mention it. Change.
Change. Yes. Yeah. A fair wind blowing. Judas. Oh, wow. What a privilege, you know, just to be here. I've been a few times and I just love this place. And I just want to honour these people before anything. You know, Mari and I have been so close and God is using us, and I believe he's going to use us even more together in the time to come. Mm-hmm. And Donnie and Katrina, you know, their faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Is so I just want to honour you because you have something so special. But I don't want anybody to misinterpret that, because sometimes we can think, see, if I listened to Davey, I could think, well, you don't really go around praying for people to be healed. Or I might listen to Mandy and, you know, or I might see Mandy worshipping and dancing, and I might think, well, you don't worship like that.
Yeah.
You see, God, there are no copies.
Right.
In the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
I just want to bless you all to be who God made you to be.
Amen. 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 Yes,
and, you know, it's interesting, God brought Mari and I together, and we've ministered in very different ways. I mean, I just don't go anywhere without this. and sometimes I think, oh, Mari gets all these wonderful pictures, and she brings in, you know, sort of visual aids, and I think, oh, people must think I'm so dry and boring and all straight just from the word, you know, because, but God made me to be me, and there isn't another one like me. And so I want to encourage you, because when I've heard so many encouraging things this weekend. Particularly the things about time and timing. The first time I came was about 9 years ago, and I think now is the time. And I was praying and asking the Lord to give me a picture of Lewis and what was happening here, and I saw a vision of the strong man with this great big weapon in his hand, like a big club. And written across it was condemnation. And the Lord said, that is the weapon that he is holding over believers. And so he said, Judith, you have to look to yourself first, the team. You have to look, what's condemning you? What was whispering to Davey last night and say, you can't get up and dance? That's that strong man.
That's right.
You see, that condemnation comes in different ways. We think, oh, condemnation, that means, you know, that I'm a bad person or I've sinned. No, no, no. Condemnation will be, well, who do you think you are? Mm-hmm. Who do you think you are to get up and preach? Who do you think you are? That's condemnation. And that's what keeps us in. And that's what stops us. But God in his word has given us very easy ways to disarm the strong man. We think, oh, I'm going to go and
Yes. Many years been part of Glow and Lydia, and you know, and we've gone round, we've prayer walked, and we've bound and done everything, you know, and we've screamed at the devil, and we've yelled at people, and we've done everything. And it's like, God said, it's so easy, it's all in here, and it's all by the blood. Very significant.
Yes.
You see, I see everything prophetically. But when Mari fell and Mandy said, you're covered in the blood. You see, I believe this whole breakthrough is based in the blood.
Amen, Lord, hallelujah.
The blood of Jesus that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel.
Yes.
What does the blood of Abel say? Give me justice. Revenge. Revenge. What does the blood of Jesus say? Innocent. 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 And it speaks louder. But we spend time, I love it when we say, you know, why do we give glory to the devil? Because he speaks and we don't know how to silence him. But if you look in the book of Zechariah chapter 3, oh, please read it. Zechariah chapter 3. He shows you exactly how to silence the enemy. Because we need to get into the very throne room of God. What does he say? Enter boldly. Isn't that what you said this morning, Joe? Wasn't that one of the first things we heard? Enter with boldness.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Not condemnation. Confidence. Confidence. There is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. I imagine everybody in this room has said that. But we have to live it. We have to go into the throne rooms of God, and in that courtroom, you will have an accuser. Jesus said there's an accuser.
That's right.
But in Zechariah, you will see what God says. Lord, rebuke you, Satan. So when he comes up and he says, oh, wow, you know, you've come into the throne room of God and you're coming to pray. I have a niece who is very ill at the moment, and I spend a lot of time, you know, praying for her. And I go in and I'm praying for Debbie, and the enemy will say, wow, you're in here praying for her, but you don't really, really believe she's going to get healed, do you? You don't really believe that cancer's going to go. And then he quotes the Bible, because he's very good at quoting scripture. So he turns to the book of James. He loves the book of James. And he says, you know, that means you're double-minded. And what does a double-minded man expect from God? Nothing. So you better get out of the courtrooms of God. So I would try and argue, no, I do believe. And he said, no, you don't. Instead of saying, guilty, Lord, there is doubt in my heart. But I tell you what, Jesus said, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me all my sin, and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Na, 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 na. And he has to be silent. Because the blood says, I don't care what you say, Satan, Judith is innocent.
Hallelujah.
Judith is innocent. Judith is covered in a robe of righteousness. You see it there in Zechariah. Take off the filthy garments. Take off the filthy garments and cover him with a robe of righteousness. And then God says to him, come on here, Joshua. Come on in. Because I tell you what, I'm going to give you free access. Free access. Not only that, I'm going to give you governmental authority. Governmental authority. You're not even going to... God says to me, don't worry about praying for Debbie. I want you to come in here, and you're going to pray for Haiti. And you're going to pray for India. And you're going to pray for these elections. Don't tell me we don't have a voice. Don't tell me that, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to vote for. Go into the courtrooms of God.
Hallelujah.
Say, I will stand for righteousness in this nation. We are sick and tired of unrighteousness. And if we don't pray for a righteous nation, who will? Amen. Do you think these people down in Westminster are praying for a righteous nation? There may be some, but there won't be many. But we can.
Yes,
because the blood has made us able. The blood has cleansed us. So read that in Zechariah. And then remember Revelation. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now remember the testimony. It's wonderful to hear testimonies. But that's not what Revelation is talking about. It's talking about the testimony of the blood. The blood that justifies. The blood that sanctifies. The blood that cleanses. The blood that intercedes. The blood that gives you access. That's what you give testimony about. You don't love your life. You've given that up. You're already dead. So that's okay. So it's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament, blood of the Lamb. And not only is the strong man here disarmed, as Mari said, through worship and praise last night, he was bound. So it's now's the time. There's an open hand. Because he's like a lion with no teeth now. He's trying to bite and he's got no teeth. Now's the time to be out there and say, come on in, folks. Come on in, because the blood, and my heart breaks for people this Sunday morning sitting in churches in Stornoway who feel condemned, who feel they're not good enough, that they are, you know, they love the Lord with all their heart. And they don't even know if they will go to heaven. That breaks my heart. And yet when we can say to them, you know, that Jesus says you are innocent. And I loved it when we were listening to a very good preacher recently, Stephen Key. He said, and when you're in the throne rooms of God, you know what the really neat thing is? The judge, he said, the courts are rigged. Because the judge is your dad. And what the Lord showed me, he said, you know, when I had this picture of the enemy sloping away, going away, because he has been defeated, the father goes, you may come back here a minute. You brought an innocent person into the courtroom. You're getting away without... paying for that.
Wow.
So not only are we declared innocent, but God says he's going to have to pay us. The enemy is going to have to pay us back for dragging us into the courtrooms of God and saying we were guilty. That would happen in a normal court. You couldn't just take somebody in and get away with it. It's the same in the heavenly court. God bless you, and let me bless you all to be who God has made you to be.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm conscious of time. So I just want to thank you again for the wonderful blessing that you have been to us and that you are to us. And we will be back soon. And we will be expecting to be in a bigger place.
Because
he has told us we will be in a bigger place.
Amen.
So we will.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Will. So God bless you.
Amen. Bless you. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Amen. 3 years ago, the Lord gave me a word, a message to proclaim, and that is loosen the strong man. Loosing the strong man, because when the strong man of sin is bound, the strong man of righteousness is loosed.
Yes.
And that's who you are, and that's who I am, and that's who we are together. Before that last night, we're the planting of the Lord, the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, the strong men or and women of righteousness yes. are being loosed. And have been loosed. Hallelujah. So stand up on the inside. Glory to God. To stand up on the inside is what resists every effort of the enemy to lay condemnation. You know that the only way that you can resist condemnation is to know you're innocent.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Not pretending you're innocent. Not lying your way into pretend. No. Just knowing that you're innocent.
Yeah.
Even if the whole world thinks you're guilty, if you know you're innocent, that's what matters.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And God has declared us all to be innocent. Hallelujah. We've got a song to go out on.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Back into the victory.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Taking all the spoils.
Hallelujah.